Ah, buenas, ¿y Fibe? We are trying to sanitize our microphones so that we do not have any issues with the situation that we are all aware of. Lakini kwa sasa ninaona ya kwamba kuna wageni kati yetu. Na we would want to take this ningetaka tuchukue muda huu, we recognize our visitors. Na ningependa muinue tu mkono pahali huko ikiwa hii ni mara yako ya kwanza kuingia mahali hapa, tafadhali tuonyeshe tu kwa ishara ya mkono mara yako ya kwanza. All right, we have we have four visitors and this is very good. Amen. Sijui kama kati yenu kuna mmoja angejisikia ya kwamba mimi ningetaka tu nipewe dakika moja, hatuta wafinyiria wengine ambao maybe you are not ready. Lakini kuna mmoja tu angeweza kusema mimi ningetaka mnijue, akuje tu atuambie jina lake ili anybody. All right.
Bwana asifiwe.
Amen.
Bwana asifiwe kanisa.
Amen.
Naitwa Nancy Jambi Kimani Kamau. Naitwa Mama Rusi ama Mama Mina. Kwangu ni hapa. Nimefurutwa na hiyo mafuta. Nikasema nikuje, najua wengi wenu kadhaa. Lakini sijawahi kuja kushiriki na nyinyi. Lakini kwa saa hii tutakuwa tunashiriki pamoja.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I actually didn't know her name. Tunamuitaga tu Mama Rusi. Mama Rusi, umekaribishwa pahali hapa. Na wengine wote mumekaribishwa. Kama vile mumeona kibao pale, sisi tunaitwa Grace Hill Mission Church na tunafurahia sana kuwa nanyi. Na every one of us ambao alionelea ni vyema ama Mungu tu akaonelea ni vyema tuwe tumeketi asubuhi ya leo pamoja, we do not take that one for granted. We sincerely want to appreciate. My name is Matthew. God has given me the privilege and the honor to be to lead this team, and I want to really appreciate that every one of the team members. We have people who are new, we have people that are old, and I mean old in terms of when they joined, not old at kama miaka, lakini ambao tumekuwa katika hii huduma kwa wakati usio mdogo. Kwa hawa wote, I think I would want to say thank you so much. Kama vile Pastor Kingori amesema, we are sincerely thankful for all of us who have taken time to support this ministry. It is a great honor. We are the kind of ministry that let people just follow the Lord, obey the Lord. We will not come here and start telling you sijui ununue nini, sijui ununue mchanga ama ununue mafuta. We are going to let you free, knowing that it is you obeying the Lord that causes you to be blessed. So even when we talk about giving, we are going to let every one of us know ya kwamba our part in giving is for our own good. Bwana asifiwe sana. So let us continue giving our offering. Let's continue giving our tithes. We know that the Lord would want to bless us, and in a very, very special way. We thank God for many people that have been changed, saved through the ministry that we are doing in this place. This, I think, is our what month? We came in February, and this is August. So it's our seventh month. Tukitoa hiyo miezi ya corona ambao hatukukutana, maybe we are doing our third month. Lakini, the Lord has been so, so faithful. His presence has been so much with us. Tumemuona akitenda mambo ya ajabu. Wengi wamebadilika, wengi wamekuja kumjua Yesu kama mwokozi wa maisha yao. Na tunajua ya kwamba, tunaweza kuwa hatuna vitu kubwa. Ati uone kanisa kubwa ukipita pale. Unaweza kuja, maybe ukija ulikuwa una expect, utakuta instrument, ma keyboard, ma drums. Lakini there is nothing better kama kuwa na the presence of the Lord. Mukiwa na uwepo wa Bwana kati yenu, mutaimba bila kitu, na kama vile Mama Rusi amesema, mafuta italeta watu. Bali ningeendelea tuendelee kumuamini Mungu, aendelee kutupatia wengi, and particularly tuombe Mungu atupatie watu ambao wako na mzigo, wako na talent ya praise and worship, ili wakaweze kusaidiana na dada yetu Faith na wengine ambao wamekuwa wa kikundi hicho, lakini kwa sasa ni lazima wakae nyumbani. Wengine wako na watoto wadogo, wengine wako na watoto wadogo sana ambao hatujafanikiwa kuwaona. So ikiwa uko hapo na uko na huo mzigo na unajisikia ya kwamba uko na hiyo talanta ya kuimbisha na kutusaidia ama kusaidia kanisa, ili tuweze kuingia katika kipindi cha Sifa Yole, anytime we are here, you are welcome to meet with our sister. Ningependa kabla tu ingie katika sermon yetu ya siku ya leo, tuchukue tu dakika moja mbili tuimbe wimbo ambao ni wimbo ambao ni wa kawaida. Ningeuliza bibi yangu atupatie makaratasi ili wale ambao hawajui tuweze kuangalia na karatasi. Wale wanaweza Google, kuna wimbo ambao inasema mbele ninaendelea. That is the song you would want to sing. Ikiwa you have it online, you will be happy not to, kwa sababu kuna makaratasi maide tu. Mbele ninaendelea, ninazidi kutembea. Kwa sababu kwetu sisi kama kanisa, Omagi yako nayo. Haya, wale ambao mbele ninaendelea, kuna wakati mwingine tulikuwa tumetumia hizo makaratasi. Ikiwa wewe ni mmoja wa wale ambao walizipeleka nyumbani, we would want to appreciate ikiwa uko nayo uitumie saa hii. Mbele ninaendelea. Siku moja mtakuja hapa mtashangaa muone kuna instrument, kuna equipment, kuna musical instrument, na zote ziko nao wachezaji. Kwa sasa tuko na keyboard, ikiwa wewe you are able to play, ikiwa you are talented that way, tujue there is an opportunity, na tungependa uchukue nafasi hiyo umtumikie Bwana kwa njia hiyo. Ningetaka kuinvite bibi yangu atuongoze katika hiyo.
Amen. Tusimame tuimbe huu wimbo ya unasema ya kwamba mbele ninaendelea, ninazidi
kutembea.
Amen. I'm sorry that we don't have many papers. Lakini ni wimbo mnayo ifahamu, somehow umeisikia. So just flow with us. Kama hauna karatasi, we imba chorus. Amen. Najua Mungu atatubariki. Okay, let's start. Mbele ninaendelea, ninazidi kutembea, maombi uyasikie, Bwana unipandishe. Mbele ninaendelea, ninazidi kutembea, maombi uyasikie, Bwana unipandishe, Bwana unichinue, kwa imani nisimame, nipande milima yote, Bwana unipandishe, Bwana unichinue, kwa imani nisimame, nipande milima yote, Bwana unipandishe. Sina tamani nikae mahali pa shaka kamwe, hapo wengi wanakaa, kuendelea naomba, Bwana uniinue, kwa
nami nisimame nipande milima yote. Bwana unipandishe, Bwana uniinue, kwa imani nisimame nipande milima yote. Bwana unipandishe,
nisikae
duniani, ni mahali pa shetani,
na tazamia
biguni, nitafika kwa imani.
Eliye
Bwana uniinue, kwa imani nisimame nipande milima yote. Bwana unipandishe,
nataka nipandishwe juu zaidi ya
yale mawingu,
nitaomba nifikishwe.
Bwana unipandishe,
Bwana
uniinue, kwa imani nisimame nipande milima yote. Bwana
unipandishe,
Bwana uniinue, kwa imani nisimame nipande milima yote. Bwana
unipandishe.
Haleluya, tumpigie Bwana makofi. Ni ombi letu na kila mmoja wetu, Bwana utupandishe. We pray that our Father, we may cease to live in the standards of this world, but you are going, as you are calling us, to lift us up high above the standards of this world that are full of sin and compromise. I pray that every one of us, dear Lord, you will hold our hands. You will hold our hands to lead us to victory in the name of Jesus. And our Father, this morning, as we come before your presence to hear your word, we are grateful that you have been with us. You are with us at the time of prayer. You are with us in the session of praise and worship. And these are, as we continue, we pray, you are going to speak to us at the individual level, that none of us, dear Father, shall go back the same way that they came into this place. We glorify you and we honor you, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tunaweza keti. I am introducing a series today, and a new series. Now, for those who are visiting with us for the very first time, and those of us who have not been with us as we do series, we as a church desire or have decided that we would want to have some consistency in the way we study the Word of God. And we will not be preaching from here, there, and elsewhere. Okay, there are times the Lord will lead us that way. But largely, wakati mwingi, wakati tutakapo kutana hapa, we will be following a certain theme. Ndio tunaweza kusema ya kwamba kama kanisa, tunatoka hapa, tukienda hapa. And we are proud of this one thing, that as Grace Mission Church, we are a church that follow the Word of God. You know, when you are preaching from all over, there are times, and many a times, people will choose what they want to hear. But when you are reading the Word consistently, even ata ile itakuwa ngumu, ata ile haita kupendeza, the Lord will want to minister to you through that. So I want to welcome you into a series that we have dubbed Victorious Christian Living. Sit, walk, and stand. This is a series through the book of Ephesians. I know ukisikiliza especially the second line where you sit, walk and stand, it sounds like it is inverted, because you sit, you stand and walk. But I would want to say that I will explain this later. When we are studying a particular portion of scripture, ni vyema tuwe tunajiuliza, what are the keys to understanding where we are coming from and where we are going? So, number one, I want to say, to talk of four keys very, very shortly as we are passing. In understanding a letter, like we are reading the letter to Ephesians, we need to understand who was it being written to. That is number one. So we need to understand, like now, the city of Ephesus. And we are going to take time and understand what is this city that was called Ephesus. Number two, we're going to take time and understand in that city, there is a church. We are going to take time and understand the church. Then we are going to take time and understand the messenger. Ukisha understand hayo mambo matatu, you understand the city, ni nani alikuwa anaambiwa vile tunasoma, you understand the church in that setup, you understand the messenger, it will be very easy for you to understand the completeness of the message. So, we are understanding the city, the church in that city, the messenger, and we are understanding, that will help us as we seek to understand the message of the letter. Now, the letter to Ephesians was written by Paul to the church that was in Ephesus. And today I am not going to even, I may not even start the book of Ephesus, because we have quite some history about this church. And the city of Ephesus, I wish I could show you some map, and I think wale ambao wako na macho mazuri, munaweza angalia hii map, muone, okay, Ephesus is here. This red dot here. It is on the west coast of the modern city or modern country called Turkey. Now, I know, mumeweza kuwa munachanganyikiwa, munashindwa, Pastor, do we need all this history? I think you will be able to understand better when we come to the message, having understood where we are coming from. So, Ephesus is in the country that we call Turkey, on the west coast of that country. And Ephesus is a metropolis, ni kama Nairobi, ya wakati huo, ambao watu walikuwa wametoka pande zote, wanakusanyika Nairobi, kama vile tuliopo hapa. I mean, my brother has come from all the way in Kitale. Mwingine ametoka East Province, Eastern Province. Huyo ni wa Lower Eastern, no, huyo ni wa Lower Eastern, huyo mwingine ni wa Upper Eastern, wengine ni wa Central. We are coming from all sides. Now, Ephesus was that kind of a city. Now, when you are in a city like that, you expect ya kwamba there will be so much in terms of trade. So Ephesus falls in a junction or interjection between two roads. A road coming from the west, no, from the north to south, and a road coming from east to west, zinakutana hapo Ephesus. Now, if you go to Ephesus today, there is no town called Ephesus, but there is a complete ruins that has been excavated to show how Ephesus was in those days. The population of Ephesus was between 250,000 to 350,000. Now, this is calculated how? In those days, they would make theaters, ambao watu wanakutana. And those theaters, the biggest in the city, would accommodate a 10th or a 10% of the community of the whole city. So you find today that they are theaters that can accommodate up to 2,500. Like we are saying, it is in a place that is attracting people from the east, attracting people from the west, attracting people from the north. They come there and they start doing business. Now, when people travel, they travel with their religion. When people relocate, they relocate with their religion. So, the person coming from the east comes with his religion. The person coming from the west comes with their religion, and they meet in this city. So, you find Ephesus was predominant, was largely a very mixed community. Watu wanaomba, all sorts of things. Lakini what was very, very predominant, ambao kitu moja ilikuwa kubwa sana, is the worship of idols. And in the worship of idols, one idol particularly had taken the city. All of them, I mean many people in the city, were in the worship of a goddess that was called Diana. Now, I will say so much about the goddess Diana. Number one, goddess Diana was that what we are saying, Diana is a Roman name. But the people from the north were using the same goddess, or they are worshipping the same goddess, but you find that they had a different name for that goddess, and they used to call her Artemis. So there are some Bibles that you will see, they are saying that the temple of goddess Diana, ama the others will talk about the goddess Artemis. Now, the temple of the goddess Diana was so huge, not just so huge, it was such a it was such a huge building, and it entered into what we call the ancient wonders of the world. So, because we are in a history class, before we continue, I want to read a quotation of one person that was a modern historian and a modern historian and an ancient poet. And I read, he says this: "I have set my eyes on the lofty walls of Babylon." Now, I'm going through the list of the ancient wonders of the world. So, amesema, I've set my eyes on the lofty walls of Babylon. That is number one. That is one ancient wonder of the world. On which a road for chariot, on which there is a road on top. There was a wall. The wall of Babylon was a big wall surrounding a city. Lakini hapa juu ya ukuta, tuseme sasa juu ya hii ukuta, kulikuwa na barabara hapo, that a chariot, horses would vuruta a chariot and go around the city. That is one wonders of the ancient world. Then he says, "And I have set my eyes on the statues of Zeus by the Alphaeus." That is the second wonder. The statues of Zeus, and the hanging gardens, and the colossus of the sun, and the huge labor of the high pyramids, and the vast tombs of Mausoras. But when I saw the house of Artemis, that mounted to the crowds, other marvels lost their brilliance. I'm trying to paint a picture of the city that Paul is writing to. There is so much in terms of idol worship, and this goddess Diana has taken the town by a storm. Everybody, every other person is worshiping goddess Diana. Now, I hope that you can see here. Please see, this is a lesson class, this is a history class. Now, this is the image of the goddess Diana. I don't know whether you can see this. You are able to see this? Maggie, are you able to see? All right. Now, that is the goddess that was being worshipped. And I want to ask us, okay, it was a goddess, so it must have been a woman or a lady for that matter. But she is, all her body are full of balls kind of a thing. Some historians would want to say that these are female breasts, because she is a goddess that represented fertility. us will say that these ones are grapes. Others will say that these ones are bull balls. Because whenever there was sacrifice to the goddess Diana or Artemis, they would sacrifice to her bulls, the balls for the bulls. So we have all kinds of things. But now, having said so much about history, we have a very clear picture of where this church was. So when now we talk about Diana, I want to read Acts chapter 19, verse 23 to 30. Acts 19, verse 23, and I read, "About that time there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in a lot of business for the craftsmen there. He called them together, along with the workers in related trade, and said, 'You know, my friends, that we receive great income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow called Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus, and practically the whole province of Asia. He says that gods made by human hands are no gods at all. There is danger not only that of to our trade we will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited. And the goddess herself, who is worshipped through the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of their divine majesty.' Soon the whole city was in uproar. The people seized Gaius, an Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companion from Macedonia, and all of them rushed into the theater." Now, you know now why I was giving you the history. Now, anybody understands it better? Because when we come and we read the book of Acts, we may not be able to figure out what exactly is happening. But Acts is helping us to understand what is happening. There were people, and I want to give this as an example. Kuna watu, especially ukienda pare town, ukienda hapo Jamia Mosque, hapo inje. And there are people who sell the beads for prayer for Muslims. There are people who sell Qurans. There are people who sell kakofia. There are people selling kanzu. There are people selling all kind of things related to that. This is what was happening. That there are people who were outside the temple of Artemis. And what were they selling? They were silversmith. So they had made this a replica, a small goddess, taking after the goddess Artemis. And this is what they were selling. And the Bible says that they were making a lot of money out of it. So Paul comes. Come and says to them, you get into the city where there are only Muslims that are there, and they are selling all kinds of things. And they are saying, and you go preaching, and people start coming to Christ. People start coming to Christ. People are coming to Christ all over. And I want to tell you, there was trouble. So they rush. They want to capture Paul, but they get hold of two traveling companions of Paul, and they bring them to the theater. We say this theater is so huge. Can you imagine? You know how many years are those when the book of Ephesus was being written? It was written between the year 61 AD and 64 AD. So, can you imagine there was an area of a seating capacity that could accommodate 2,500 people?
25,000.
Yeah, 25,000. Can you imagine? You know, can you start seeing now where we are coming from? It's a huge thing. It's a huge complex. Now, this is now where the riot starts. They are coming into this theater and they are saying, we need the blood of Paul. They are begging for his blood. They are really thirsty. They want to make sure that they kill him. For what reason? He is converting the whole city to talk about Jesus Christ. So we say that there are people who are making a lot of business out of it. And now that Paul comes and preaches that way, then you can also expect there will be trouble. So this is the trouble that Paul is confronting. Now, having said that so much about the city, I want now to talk about the church. The church in that setup, it will also help you understand what Paul is saying in his message. We have understood the city, I guess. We have understood where Paul is coming from and what he is writing about. Now, they believed that the goddess Artemis came from heaven. And the figure that they are talking about that came from heaven, it was a big, there are these, now kindly help me, there are those black things that fall from heaven, very black. They are called what?
Meteorites.
Now, the goddess Artemis, they believed, came from heaven. If you read like in Acts 19, Nauko 28, you utaona, they are saying that our goddess Diana came from heaven. It was a meteorite, but in the shape of a breast that fell from the sky, not from heaven. But they are saying that their goddess came from heaven. Now, we are trying to understand the church. The book of Ephesus, or the church in Ephesus, has so much history. The Bible says, talks about so much about this book, that it is the church that we know the most in the whole of the New Testament. For example, the book of Acts from 19 to 20, it is talking about that church. Then, as if that is not enough, Acts 19 and 20 is all about the church in Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, if you remember, those of us who are Bible readers, it is talking about the letter of Jesus to the church in Ephesus. Then, if you are a Bible reader, and I want to challenge you to get all these historical facts, you will realize that the book of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, were written to Timothy while he was in Ephesus. So it is actually dealing with the same thing. And then I think what also I didn't know until I was doing this study, the book of 1st John, 2nd John, and 3rd John were written in Ephesus. John settled in Ephesus together with the Mary, mother of Jesus. That is where he died. That is where Mary, the mother of Jesus, died. If you remember at the cross, Jesus turns to John and says, John, this is your mother. And he turns to the mother and says, Mom, this is your son. And for some reason, Jesus, though he had brothers, this is the guy who took the mother, and they relocated to Ephesus. And now, today, if you visited Ephesus, you would be able to see the memorial tomb of John and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, let me introduce the series that we are doing. Number one, sit. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4 to 6, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love which he has loved us with, even when we were dead in sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised up to us together with him to sit together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So the Bible is talking about that Jesus has raised us up, and we has caused us to sit together with him. That is why we have in this series sit. That is where the life of a Christian begins. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and therefore, as a prisoner of Christ, I beseech you to walk. So we are coming from a sitting position, and we are told, now that you are seated with Christ, walk.
How do you walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you are called? And number three, we are told to stand. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may stand against the evil, the wiles of the evil one. So this is why we have dubbed this series, Sit, Walk, and Stand. Amen. Now I think we are in a, we are together. Now, I want to read, today was purely a history class because we cannot continue so long. But I want to finish by reading. Now we let's understand the writer a little. We have understood the city, we have understood the church, let's understand the writer. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 and 2, sorry. Paul is introducing himself as the writer. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God. Now, the writer is called Paul, we all know. But what challenged me is, how does he identify himself? He identifies himself not the Paul who was learned, not the Paul who had many things and a lot of zeal, but he introduces himself, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So, Paul, in all what he had, finally, at the end of his life, he says, what was important to him is the issue that I've been called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and it is not by my own will. It is not ya kwamba nina jisukumia kwa hii huduma. I am called by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. God had called Paul so that he can glorify himself as one who has been sent by Jesus Christ. Paul seems to know very clearly and to understand the purpose for which God is calling him. And he says that I am called to be an apostle. And I want to challenge us this morning. As we look at understanding the writer of this gospel, remember, Paul was not among the disciples. He was not among the 12. But Jesus Christ came to him the way Jesus Christ revealed himself to you and to me and to you and to you. Paul is saying, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And today I want to stand here and tell you what I am today. I am by the will of God through Christ Jesus. And you also can partake in this great calling where God is calling you to make an impact in the life that you are living. Brethren, you are here by the will of God. You are called by the will of God to go and make an impact in the life that you are living. Do you understand your calling? Do you understand yourself? When you introduce yourself, does it just end by my name? Does it end and say, my name is so and so? Or can you clearly define what you have been called to do by the will of God? Okay. The challenge is, if you do not understand where you are coming from, if you do not understand your calling, you will live a life that has no direction. You will live every day, wake up, take lunch, take breakfast, take supper, sleep. Tomorrow, the same thing. But Paul seems to be very clear. I would want to challenge you, even as I challenge myself, how deeply do you understand your calling? Let us look for a minute the writer and his circumstances. Paul is writing this from a prison in Rome. Now, I want to take you back to the map because I had prepared myself. Now, if you look at, this is Ephesus and Rome is here. Paul is writing to this church when he is here as a prisoner. And the circumstance in which Paul is writing, you can be sure he is not writing in a very, very enjoyable place. A prison has never been a very enjoyable place. But this is where I want to end this. Paul, writing from a prison, has one resolve in his heart. my current situation or circumstance does not in any way dampen my spirit to serve my God. Hallelujah. Paul is very clear that I may be in prison. I may be tied to a soldier. Like in this case, when he was under house arrest, he was actually tied onto a soldier. One end of the chain is Paul. The other end of the chain is a soldier, a Roman soldier. But I want to thank God that Paul is understanding that even though my circumstances and my surroundings looks like it is hopeless, praise be to the name of the Lord. I am not hopeless. The gospel, he says, is not in chains. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul understands the mission for what God called him. And he is challenging us. Do you understand the mission? Or how many times have you let the circumstances of every day to dampen your spirit? Simply because you have a small problem. Maybe you cannot pay your rent. You feel like you are dead. You feel like you are dying. Okay, you may not have that rent when you need it. But one thing remains. God is still on the throne.
Amen.
And if you know him, you are still in his service. He is going to provide in due time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Paul understands the one who sent him. He says, "And I am an apostle of Jesus Christ." I want to tell you, wherever or whatever situation you are in, whatever circumstances that you are in, may not be the best that you can ever be, but the Lord is together with you. So, Paul accepts, "I am in prison." And like he tells the church in Philippi, he says that even though my hands are chained, the gospel of God is not in chains. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My sister and my brother, you could be in debt. My brother, my sister, you could have had a family that is not working. You could be in school and things are not adding up. But I want to tell you, the gospel of God is not in chains.
Yeah.
It is not in debt. Haina deni, hallelujah.
Amen.
And you are called to serve in this. So he says, Paul says in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, "Because of my chains, the whole palace guard has heard the gospel." Amen.
Amen.
Despite and in spite of the circumstance that Paul is finding himself in, the whole palace guard has heard the gospel. Even if you find yourself in a situation that looks so hopeless and helpless, you can still use that opportunity to have the whole palace guard, whatever is binding you, whatever is making you look helpless and hopeless, God has a reason to have you, that of having you there. He can use you to make the whole of that environment changed for his own sake.
Amen.
Lastly, I want to do just four small lessons. Number one, it is not time. Lesson number one, it is not time for pity party. Sio wakati wa kujihurumia. Sio wakati wa kujisikia ya kwamba mimi nimefika mwisho. Paul says that because of my chains, the whole palace guard has heard the gospel. And today, you know, Paul could have taken that opportunity and start woye. Woye thing, or the woye syndrome is when you want everybody to know what you are going through. When you look like you are hopeless, you act hopeless, you talk hopeless, and you act in every way like you are hopeless. Paul says it is not time for that. That is lesson number one. And lesson number two, I am not repeating myself. Even in chains, God has a plan and a purpose for your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even in chains, even in debt, even in whatever circumstance that you are finding yourself in, God has a reason, has a purpose for you. Please seek the will and the purpose of God. And when you know it, give yourself to it wholeheartedly. A Kikuyu singer sang and said that niona ingikorwo nyonagwo ta njerekeire guthira ni njoe ndio murathime ngai wakwa ndakandiga. And for my brothers who cannot hear this language, what the singer sang and said is that even if I look like I am on the dying bed, I know I am blessed because God is together with me. So, that let this be our lesson, that even though we are in a chains, in our chains, God has a plan, has a purpose. Number three, God has the power to break the chains. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to remind us, this is the same Paul about tunakaa tukiimba kila wakati. Paulo na Sila waliomba, milango ya gereza ikafunguka. But this particular time, God chooses, I am not going to break this chain, but I am going to use you to bring many to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, my brother, God is not in short of the power that does miracle. God is not in the power that transforms families. God is not a short of this power to make miracles happen. But he does it at his time. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is working. He is still at work. But I want to say, he does work at his time. And he will make all things beautiful. Okay? My brother, my sister, the situation at home may not be very good. The situation at work may not be promising. You could be jobless. But now, meanwhile, as you remain jobless and seeking for a job, what do you find yourself doing? Are you fulfilling the purpose for what God has called you? If you are doing that, God has the power to open those doors. And as I conclude, I want to invite you. You may be there and you are feeling that my circumstances, my life at the point that I am in, feels like I do not acknowledge or I have not been able to visualize that what God is calling me or what is the purpose of God concerning my life. That you have allowed the chains of this world to tie you down, to dampen the spirit that is in you. My brother or my sister, I would want to pray with you that you may come out of this place with renewed energy, knowing that God who called you has a purpose, has a reason for your life. He can use you to make many come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maybe you are there and you have not gone to God seeking to know you. You could be saying, God, I desire to know you, that I can stand in this with a testimony that you are God who is at work in me, like you are in work in the life of Paul. You are there and you would want us to pray with you. I would want to request you, maybe just lift up your hand. You want to commit your life to Jesus Christ. You want to say yes to Jesus Christ who gives the purpose for life. Are you there and you would want to say yes? I would love to pray with you. And whatever situation that you are in, we can pray and God can intervene. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have spoken to us through the letter that you caused our brother Paul to write to the church in Ephesus. And Lord, we are living our lives in the times where our faith is challenged from all corners. In our lives, our faith is challenged by all types of doctrine. We pray that in the name of Jesus, you may cause us to understand in the name of Jesus that what you are calling us for. We pray that the grace of God shall be upon our lives, that we may stand in the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in, situations back at home, situations back in our places of work or our places of study, situations that may look hopeless and helpless. I pray that in the name of Jesus, every one of us, oh God, shall see and will be able to appropriately fix ourselves even into the calling that you are calling us to be into the name of Jesus. We want to praise you. We want to glorify you, desiring that your blessings will be upon us in everything that we do. And now, Lord, I commit these brethren into your dear ones into your hands. I desire that you are going to bless them. We pray that your blessings will take them wherever they are. In the week ahead, may they find blessings in their work. May they find lots of blessings in their home. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you are going to strengthen them in their walks of faith. They are going out and they are coming in will be blessed. You're going to bless their food. You're going to bless and sanctify their water. And in everything that they do, we pray, you are going to be glorified, our Father. We worship you. We honor you. Even as we partake of this blessing of coming into your presence to hear you speak. Thank you. We worship you. We honor you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We've taken quite some time today, and we continue in the book of Ephesians next time. It is going to be a long but very, very exciting series. I'm very excited about Ephesians, and I am sure we are going to be excited together as we walk with the Holy Spirit teaching us.